Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
I want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 today. Hey, lights. So all I had to say was, let there be light, see? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Starting in verse 7, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, the NLT. It says, I observe yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying closely together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, today I'm going to use this as another illustration here in a moment. I'm going to have to pick a couple other volunteers. The good thing is you don't have to be tug-of-warring each other. I don't know, sometimes you may. But, you know, when I think about this rope, and if I have this rope stretched out, and someone was holding on to one end, and someone was holding on to the other, and someone fell, it says, you could reach out and lift them up. But how much easier would it be if someone fell if you were in closer proximity to help them up? The further that this rope gets, the further that it stretches out, the more difficult it is to lift up someone's weight. The more difficult it is to raise someone up. But the closer you are, the more you draw in this rope, the easier it would be to lift up someone. Because you're closer together, you're braided together, you're attached. You know, it's important that we have that, because oftentimes we have to look at the scripture as brothers and sisters in Christ, and the further that we get apart, the further we distance ourselves from each other, how much more difficult it is to lift up a brother and sister when they're in need. We get so far apart sometimes we don't even realize when someone else is going through a trial, when they're going through a trouble. But when we're close, we realize what the other needs, and we can lift them up. You know, I love to go whitewater rafting. It's something I used to do. You know, I haven't done it as much as I used to, but I used to go whitewater rafting all the time. And right when I went, I go to the Gauley in West Virginia. It's one of the most dangerous rapids around. When I went, I was talking to my guide. I had the same guide every year. And when I went this one time, he said, I always asked, you know, every year someone typically dies on the Gauley River. My Uncle Ronnie's been. It's his crazy fault that I started going. But every year someone dies going down the Gauley. Most of the time, it's because they don't listen. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And this time I went, and I talked to my guide, and he said, we had a guy die last week. And I said, what happened? He said, he fell out of the boat, and he said, I stood up, and I threw out the rope to him. There's a bag that they have with a rope, and he throws out the rope, and the guy hits the guy, and he grabs a hold of it. And he wads it up, and he throws it back at the boat. And he said, I don't need it. I'm a Navy SEAL. And those were the last words he ever spoke. Because He looked at it that he was in calm water and everything was fine. But he didn't realize that there was an undercurrent. And there was a big rock and this undercurrent. And the guy knew what was ahead. The guy knew that that rock was there. He knew that there was a hole underneath that rock. And this rope was the only thing that was going to save him. But when he threw it to him and he picked it up and threw it back, he said, I don't need it. It sucked him right underneath that rock and he was never found again. Because oftentimes, even in our Christian walk, we have someone that wants to help us. We have someone that wants to throw us a rope. But many times we take that and we say, I don't need your help. I don't need that. I've done that before. You know, you can't help me. I don't need your help. I can do it on my own. But the Word of God says that we are needed. The two are better than one. If a person falls alone, there's no one to help him. And it's important that we understand that this is designed to help each other. Amen. I'm going to pick on a couple because I need a couple. Let's give you two. You're up here. You're in the front. Yeah. Come on over. You grab a hold of here. You don't have to like doing it. You go down there. All right. You grab a hold of that end. Now, what I want y'all to do is you're not going to yank her, and just start wrapping it around yourself. Yep. Yep. Now spin. There you go. Yep. There you go. Just spin. Yep. Now stop. Right there. Center up a little bit. You can come this way. All right. Now, I want to read another scripture to you. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. It's important that we understand what happens in a marriage. So when these two began dating, they began drawing themselves closer to each other, wrapping themselves up a little bit and each other, get all wrapped up. That's what some people always say, you got wrapped around your finger, you know? And this is what happens right here, but you get wrapped in. And the closer y'all get, go ahead, give me another spin or two. You know, the closer they get, all of a sudden, here they are, look at this. Now they're met. This is what they look like on their wedding day. Standing this close together, facing each other. And the good part about it is on their wedding day, there wasn't anybody that was going to come in and split them apart. Because look at this, they're wrapped together. That's what God designed marriage, is so that two come together, become one, inseparable. It's important that we don't allow anything to separate us. You know, it's important that the body of Christ not allow anything to separate us. Amen. Denominations are separations. People that believe this and not the Word of God is separations. We're designed to come together and nothing split us apart and separate us. But see, there's something that happens in life sometimes. If you get married and this picture right here is beautiful, then all of a sudden someone goes through something. And all of a sudden there's a little more distance created. There's a little more distance. This is where it becomes important that the other person in the marriage is the anchor. I'm here. I'm not going to let you fall. Amen. I've got you. Well, I'm not married. That's why our accountability partner, that's why a friend sticks closer than a brother. Because this is important that you have an anchor. But oftentimes, when one person wiles out, you know, the other person, well, you know what I think about you? You know what? I'm going to tell you. Yeah. And the only thing we see is more distance. Yep. And now, how much easier is it to split? We're playing Red Rover today, too. It's a game of games. How much easier is it for someone to come in and separate what God has joined together? When we allow separation to happen. You know, I'm going to tell you this is a perfect example of what happens in your home with your children. They wait till mama and daddy are fighting. And boy, look at all this leeway they got. Oh, yeah, I can get away with all kinds of stuff. But when mom and dad were together, I can't come in and separate them as easy. This is what happens. People wonder why. Well, how do people have affairs? It's distance, space between one another. No anchor. No anchor. But if one says, I'm going to stay connected, even though you're wilding out, even though you got crazy ideas over there, I'm here as your anchor. I'm waiting for you. James 5, 19 and 20, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Do you know that in our lives and our marriages, that we'll see people in the church, we'll see those in our family, we'll see people wander out. But it's our job to stay anchored and to lift them up, to bring them back. This is to the church that he's speaking, to bring them back. If someone wanders from the truth, bring them back. And you can be sure to bring them into forgiveness. You can be sure to bring them into forgiveness. But if someone gets out here, and when they get out here, they're going to make mistakes. Because why? They're going to be blown in the wind. Because see, there's all kinds of room for error they can move. Because they're not anchored. See, she holding him down. She said, you may be blowing, but you ain't going. But oftentimes when that happens, people nowadays just say, I give up. I quit. I can't do this anymore. And it doesn't just happen in a marriage. I'm talking about even in church. When a brother or sister's going through something and they're out here blowing in the wind, it's not our job to sit there and tell them all the stuff they're doing wrong. Well, you're doing this. If you quit doing this, it's our job to be the anchor. It's our job to hold it. It's our job to continually pull them in. Continue to pull them in. But you know what? We can pull them in. But if we pulled him in only, I don't want you to wind up yet. I want you to just pull in. She pulled him in. Hold him right here. If we pull in only and he don't do the work himself, it's easier to slip right back out. But it's important that we have to understand that we're going to be there, that rope, that anchor for someone. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, look at someone and say, that's me. Oh, y'all afraid to say that today. Okay, tell them and say it's you. Say it's you. Maybe you're not the godly, but come on. We're going to be godly in the house of the Lord today. Right. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, everybody say, that's me, amen, should gently. Okay, now it done took out about 50% of you. And humbly. Well, there went the other 50. You know, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Amen. And be careful not to fall into some of the same temptation yourself. Yeah. Share each other's burden, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. You know, that's what we're designed to do. We're designed as the church. How we want to build the church. We must first start by those that have fallen away. Those that knew the truth that have wandered, those that have known the truth and fallen into sin, and not point out their sins, not point out their failures, not point out their flaws, but say, we're here and we're anchored in truth. We're anchored in the Word of God and we're not letting you go. Do you understand how important it is that when someone is going through something that they know you're there? Now you're there not to get their business and share it. You're there to be there for prayer, to be there for guidance, to be there for strength, to be an anchor. We have to be an anchor. But it's hard for us to help someone if we can't do so with forgiveness, if we can't do so humbly, if we can't do so gently? I mean, I've been around a lot of the screaming, yelling preachers. And while there's a place for those that are passionate about the Word of God, there's also a place for gentleness and humbleness. Because you know what? A gentle answer turns away. It's important. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, it actually says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God forgave you. Because you know what? When this person wiles out over here and this person gets mad, all they're doing is distancing themselves. But if they say, I'm not going to be mad, I'm going to get rid of anger, I'm not going to say harsh things, I'm not going to be ugly, then this person is able to wind themselves in, come in closer, draw themselves in. And even though she was holding on, he's able to take up that slack and come right back to a place of togetherness. Do you know that is a perfect picture of God's love? Do you know it says that nothing can separate you from the love of God? If you're tied in like this, I can't come in and separate these two on my own. They would have to release themselves. But if we stay anchored in the Word of God and have an anchor and an accountability partner, have an anchor in a brother or sister of Christ, we become stronger together. This is what the church has to do. It has to begin drawing in together and finding our anchor, finding those that we're committed to, those that we're that is our accountability partner. This is a perfect picture of this is your marriage. But if it's only one person anchored in and the other person's not holding onto the rope, you got to find an accountability partner that'll keep you strong and say, don't wild out. You're the only anchor they know. Don't drop the rope yourself. We see that so many times when those have walked away from their faith because of sin or temptation or wandering, that they have to know that they can always come back. Because it says you can always return to God's love. Nothing can separate you from God's love. But you know what we often do? A man normally does it. He begins to have judgment, bitterness, resentment. And then that person thinks that is what Christ is. That's not what Christ is. That's what we do. You guys can wind out. I'll let you go now. I've kept you up here long enough. They're not winding out to get away from each other. Y'all can lay it down. You know, I wanted to show you that today as an example to realize it takes work in all of us. It takes work from each person. Sometimes we find in life that we have to maybe take a step or two further, that we have to come closer to meet someone where they are. Some people only stop at the 50% mark and say, I'm not going any further. You're going to have to come. This is where I met your ugly face at the altar, and you're going to come back to that spot. Sometimes we got to take a step or two further to say, I'm willing to let you know that I'll take a step. But the Word says, be careful not to fall into their sin and temptation. But this happens. But it's our job to be anchored. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. We think about things that would change this scenario. How do we bring ourselves closer together than further apart? A gentle answer. A gentle answer. We can all think of something smart aleck that we want to say, can't we? That one's easy. Someone say something, you just want to pop off. You have to rewind that. A gentle answer. But harsh words make tempers flare. Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue can crush the spirit. How do we bring someone closer? Gentleness. But if we're deceitful in others, it can crush someone's spirit. I've seen people's spirits crushed because of deceitfulness. We have to show kindness Albert Schweitzer said, "Constant kindness can accomplish much. As the sun makes ice melt, kindness causes misunderstanding, mistrust, and hostility to evaporate." Kindness. How much could you accomplish with kindness? Oh, kindness goes a long way. And you know who should be the kindest of all? The people of the church. Amen. The people of God. Right? Disciples of God. We should be the kindest that there are. We don't know what someone's going through. But you know, oftentimes we're not kind to others. We're not kind in the grocery line. We're not kind when someone is driving and cuts us off. I don't give out FWC bumper stickers because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. People are like, "Well, they go to that church over there." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know them. I've seen some of y'all drive." But kindness. Kindness accomplishes much. Kindness. If we could just be kind. How do we bring those that have wandered from the truth, engaged in sinful behaviors back to the love of Jesus? It's simple. Be like Jesus. Right? He was forgiving, kind, encouraging. We should be more like him. But when we're not like Jesus, when we're not like him, we're going to push people away. And we push them further away on this rope, and they have no anchor. They have no anchor. Why do we do discipleship classes? It's something that we've done, you know, because we want to be able to bring us closer together as a body of Christ. There have been some wonderful groups that have been in, and it was funny, when we were going through the discipleship and switching, many of those came to me, some of the teachers came to me and said, "We don't want to separate our group." Because we did that one summer. We got groups together and then we separated. And we only did that to get them to know each of our different pastors and leaders is the only reason we did that. But people were like, "I don't want to separate." Why? Because they had drawn closer to each other. And that's biblical, so I didn't want to separate our groups. Matter of fact, I've told people, if you didn't feel like you bound and got close to your group, go find another one. It's not saying you don't like your group. I told no one to get their feelings hurt, you know, because you got to be kind, right? But it's just so someone else can grow closer and bind to someone else. You know, that's what's important as the body of Christ is that we come together. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 15, it said, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and make allowance." Did you see that? Make allowance for each other's faults. Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes people don't make allowance for anyone to make a mistake ever. Yeah. We don't make allowances for people to make any mistakes. Yeah. Soon as someone makes a mistake, we're done. Yeah. That's it. That's right. But you know, you have to learn how to make allowances for people's mistakes and failures. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? All. Hello. That's all of us. That's me too. But if we make allowances for others' faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Y'all got quiet. I don't like that part of Scripture. Forgive those that offend us. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. See, if we want our church to be bound together strong, we have to be bound together in love of Christ. Amen. It's the love of God that binds us together. Because what love does, it says that no matter your faults are different than my faults, but we all have faults. But love covers a multitude of sin. It binds us together when we can see Christ's love, not only for us, but flowing through us. That's what is important about learning to wrap ourselves up in Christ's love. Clothe, it says, clothe yourself. Do we clothe ourselves? That means you have to get into the Word of God. I'm telling you, you can't do it without getting in the Word of God. You can't draw closer to your spouse. You can't draw closer to an accountability partner. You can't draw closer to God without getting in His Word, without spending time reading the Word of God. It is our ultimate anchor. The Word of God is our ultimate anchor. But we're to be there for others and be their anchor, to bind them together. When I had this image in my head, I realized how much distance we create in ourselves from each other. It's funny, when people start going through hardships, how many of you all of a sudden start just distancing yourself from people? You can quietly raise your hand, right? Because we do that. Oh, yeah, I don't want to come to church and put on a smile when I don't want to smile. I don't want to say, when people say, how are you doing? I don't want to say everything's fine and lie, because it's not fine. Right? Come on, we've all been there. So what do? We distance ourselves. We distance ourselves from church. We spend less time at church, less time in prayer, less time with the people who truly care about us. Because we don't want anybody to know what we're going through. Well, I don't know what they'll think if they know this is going on in my life. I don't know what they'll think if I tell them that, you know, we're fighting. I don't know what they'll think if I tell them I just lost my business. All of these things, we let distance us from God. And then it's harder to pull someone back. Amen. It's harder to bring them back. It's so much easier when we realize, when you're close to someone and you realize there's some stuff spinning out in their life and you can be there for them to help them. Amen. I want the church to realize that's their job, not my job. It's all of our job. Amen. It's our job to be there for each other, to lift each other up when they stumble. Amen. We've got to begin to bind ourselves. You know, when I grew up, I don't know if I have any of my old church folks in here with me today, but if you grew up in an old Pentecostal church, people took this scripture and they made everyone stand. I know Brother Rick and Sherry, I'm sure y'all had this one. Made everyone stand, and they said, now everyone joins hands across the aisles. And then they would say, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. Let's sing that song. Because what was important was that the church knew it was bound together. Amen. When we separate ourselves, when we distance ourselves, we're not bound in with the body of Christ. You know, I find it so inspiring for those that have moved here, like John and Karen. They moved here and they found a church to get anchored in. To get anchored in, to tie down, to say, I'm going to attach my rope to this anchor. Because that's how you bind yourselves together. We bind ourselves together with love. We bind ourselves in with one another. But you know what? This takes a little bit of work. It takes some vulnerability. In our discipleship class that we just finished, it was talking about getting rid of walking through vulnerability. Sometimes we have to share our deepest hurts and thoughts so that we can begin to trust someone. So we can draw closer to someone. But we must do the work. We must do the work, church, to be anchored together. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know, even the scripture says that when he came and he tempted, that he left for a more opportune time. What do you think that opportune time is? Yeah. When you distance yourself? Yeah. But it said, you know, as we read there in Ecclesiastes, that when two are together, they're back to back, ready to fight, ready to protect. But if we separate ourselves, it's a more opportune time for the enemy to come in and begin to pluck us off, begin to destroy us. But 1 Thessalonians gives us encouraging words in 5:11. It says, encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. You know, my encouragement is I believe that many people are doing this already. I have seen this church work. Amen. I've seen those that have gone through hardships, and someone's there to encourage them and build them up. I've seen those that have lost loved ones. And this church, you, were there to build them up, to bind them together, to be their anchor. I've seen this church at work. We've seen this church with even Brandon and Brittany's testimony, a couple that had went through some things, had wandered, had had some sins in their life that separated them. But this church never gave up on either one of them. Amen. And what happened? It brought them back together. As they renewed their vows, got married again, and wrapped themselves up. What a powerful testimony. And I've seen it in so many of each and every one of your lives. But you know, we have to be that for every single person that walks through the doors of those church. We have to begin to bind them up. Show them the love of God. And draw near. Draw near. I encourage you to find a way to be anchored. Find a way to be anchored. In. We all need someone to be anchored to. It's great to say, oh, I got the Word of God, and that's wonderful. I want you to. But you know, we need someone. We need an accountability partner. We need someone we can lean on. If that's your spouse, amazing. Fantastic. That's what God designed. But you know, there are opportunities and there's times when you need to reach outside of that. That's what this body's for. That's what this is for. To be anchored together. So that we don't stray, wander. And as we do that for each other, we strengthen the body of Christ. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. Strengthen the body of Christ. That's ultimately what we're supposed to do. Strengthen, build up. Encourage the body of Christ. So I encourage you. I'm going to end shortly, but I want to encourage you this. I want you to prayerfully consider who is your anchor. And I want you to ask yourself this. Are you an anchor for someone?
Amen.
Or are you causing that anchor to be swayed and drug around because we're wilding out? If you know that that's you, you've been wilding out here, you're hanging on, but you're hanging on by a thread, it don't have to stay that way. Because Christ wants to call those that have wandered home. Amen. He wants you to realize that there's gentleness, there's love, there's forgiveness right here in the house of God. Amen. I want you to think about that for a moment. I want to ask everyone just to close their eyes. Because, you know, I do believe. I believe that there are those here today that at one time in our lives we felt close and connected. We felt a part of the body of Christ. But I feel like that there's some things that have come up in life and we've began to distance ourselves. We've began to spread out. And now we feel like we're at a spot where we're just barely hanging on. We're hanging on by a thread. I want you to know that Christ is telling you today, don't let go. That's all you need for us to begin to bring you back, to pull you in, to the love of Christ. Amen. If that's you today, you said, yeah, I have let things come up. I have wandered. I have things in my life that aren't pleasing to Him. But I have a desire today to draw in and be closer to God. I have a desire today to be anchored in my faith. And I want you to pray for me. Would you lift up your hand? I want to be able to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Wow. So many hands. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. You know why there's so many hands? Because it's such an easy thing for us to do. It's such an easy thing for us to feel disconnected. Disconnected from the body, disconnected from Christ, disconnected from His presence. But God doesn't desire that from anyone. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand. Troy, just come play something for me, please. There were really so many of you. I just want to pray for all of you. But I would like to ask you all, that if you raised your hand, to just come up front for a moment. Just all of you step out. So many that just said, I feel distance. I feel distance. Hallelujah. You know why I did this? Is because the important thing is I just want you to look and realize you're not alone. Not alone in how you feel. There's others that feel the same way you do. But then, look back at everyone there real quick. Those are your anchors. Right here. We want to be your anchor. We want you to always know you are anchored in Christ Jesus. You're anchored into His love. You're anchored into His forgiveness. You're anchored into His grace. You're anchored in. You may feel like this boat is drifting, but the anchor holds. The anchor holds. That's the good thing about God. He never cuts bait. He never gives up on you. He never says, you've gone too far, you've wandered out, you're too far from me, I'm cutting that and going on to the next. He never gives up on you. The anchor holds. The anchor holds. I want to pray for you today. You close your eyes. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, for each and every person that is standing here today, for all those anchors that are stretching their arms out to these right now. Father God, I ask that you just let them feel secure in your love today. Father God, let them be secure in your forgiveness today. That Father God, you have forgiven them for any sin that has brought them away from you. You've forgiven them, Father God, for any wandering that they have done, and you've brought them in closer to you. Today, Father God, they draw near to you. And Lord, I ask that you draw near to them and let them feel your mighty touch, your sweet presence, your gentleness on them today. God, and I ask that you strengthen every one of them. Oh, that you strengthen them in your word. That you strengthen them, Father God, to let them know that the anchor holds. The anchor holds.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast, and visit our website at fwcbtown.org, or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.